Christ Jesus, slow down my restless heart and fill me with gentle compassion for all your people. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Comedy Talk Show. Find us on keithandthegirl.com or on iTunes. Claudia Kogan, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's beautiful. Newsy is here with us as well.
I am.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Keith and the Girl. Hemda, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I need a vacation.
Oh, that was fast.
It's only Tuesday.
What happened?
Tell me if I'm wrong. It's vacation time.
I'm ready again.
I don't know. Just a lot going on. You go, okay, back in the groove. How have our listeners been? They support us. They go to our Keith and the Girl store. How are they doing? First email I get to. I ordered the wrong DVD. Can I have this one instead? My name's Bob.
You can't deal with customer service?
And I try not to take it offensive. Like, you only think two people order from our store all year.
So that Bob is easy to find.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're trying to make something up for him. And I don't know. And then it's like, okay, Bob, can you give me some more information? Then Bob's one of these people that never write back in the same email. They like starting a new email, like they're stopping some kind of paper trail. They're like, okay, here's my order. It takes so long to figure out, like, all the orders go together. Four emails back and forth until I get, and by the way, wrong address. Here's the right address, and it's the same address.
Mm.
So now I'm more confused.
Follow-up email. Can I get some free stickers?
Ethan is saying Bob's a douche. Don't worry. Never met a good Bob. So you have that. And then MJG is saying, didn't you have a mini vacation last night after the show? Those aren't working for you anymore? The vacations?
Just because there's... No, it was a late night. It was a late night last night. Doing a lot of business. Well, let me say this. This will get me in the groove. We do the show from New York, of course. And the great Cindy Adams, haven't done one of these in a while, the great Cindy Adams tells you what happens in her column in the New York Post, what happens in New York that really doesn't happen anywhere else in the world.
Oh, the very popular Only in New York.
This is the one for today. Every day, she's a smoker. Every day, different restaurants send items that New York City's newest citizens, an assortment of different Kardashians, where they're eating different things, all with different menfolk and different camera crews recording their swallowings for different reality spots. Trust me, those cute Kardashian kitties will end up 800 pounds by Valentine's Day. Only in New York, kids. Only in New York.
Considering they have a show in Miami.
Yeah. New York!
Couldn't happen there.
So people only eat and are videotaped doing such in New York.
Only here!
Can I tell you, half of that was pretty incoherent.
I was having trouble following it.
Yeah. Well,
she said the words, she used the word swallowings.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie. I had a few drinks. Single malt for this broad.
She's never been the same since her little dog died.
Jazzy, you're talking about.
Jazzy.
Oh, I love Jazzy. Me and Jazzy. You know, I wrote a book about us. Me and Jazzy. All the places we would go. Chapter 1, the grocery store. I took Jazzy to the grocery store.
Oh, my God. My dad is concerned that I'll never get married because of my laugh and my cough, but this woman has an entire book based on her and her dog's experience in the grocery store.
Chapter 2, the mechanics. I took Jazzy to the mechanics. Side note, I don't think the mechanics like dogs. Chapter 3. Yeah.
Don't give it all away.
I haven't been the same since Jazzy was gone. I've been hitting the sauce.
Cindy Adams was married to Joey Adams.
Joey Adams, I'm going to assume, died too.
He did.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Before Jazzy.
I think the dog died because the dad died.
Heartbreak, they
call
it.
Yes, completely.
How are Cindy Adams and Andy Rooney still both alive and they contribute nothing?
You know why? Because assholes live the longest. I'm telling you. I don't know why I try to be a nice person when I'm going to get the heart attacks.
Somebody should have a toast to all the assholes.
Let me mention this. This show is brought to you by IReconnectedWithMyFirstLove.com. IReconnectedWithMyFirstLove.com is searching for people to complete a questionnaire for those who have reconnected, you guessed it, with their first love. Go to IReconnectedWithMyFirstLove.com and submit your anonymous responses now.
Does this have to be requited love? Because I've loved somebody before and I'd like to reconnect with them.
No, I would say go to the website. Okay. Fill it out.
Go to the website and find out.
Let's see. Ben Munoz that I used to stalk in high school. Let's see if we can reconnect.
Well, you're stalking him now. It's kind of the same. Nothing ever happened to him. You just stalked him.
Well, he'll be able to know that I'm there again, though.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the reconnecting part.
Well, I don't know. First, type it in.
Okay.
And then check for carpaltunnel.com so long. And then see what's going on with the site.
First, hang out outside his house and surprise him, and then go to the website and tell them what it was like.
I used to walk my dog.
He jumped out of his bushes.
I used to walk my dog by his house every day after high school, and just kind of go extra slow as I'm passing by. And out of the whole two last years of high school, I saw him maybe once, but it was so worth it just to maybe see Ben in his house.
See, here's the thing: as soon as if Ben came out of his house, hung out with Newsy a little bit, told Newsy that he's way into him, it'd be over. See, the fact that Newsy didn't have access to this guy is why he was at all interested in him. Am I close?
Now he's married and has two kids, and I want him even more.
Yeah, I bet if you knew the real Ben, you wouldn't like him.
That's what Ben's saying. You're into this guy because he's married and everything.
Sure, sure.
You had a relationship fairly recently. I met this guy.
Oh, I did. I did.
Did it end because he ended up being into you? Like, hey, this is working out. I don't like it when it works out.
It's strange. As far as I know, everything was going well. I liked hanging out with him. I hated having the travel because I lived in Queens and he's in the Bronx. So,
oh my God,
right there.
Long distance really doesn't work. It really can't.
You just can't do it. Unless maybe both of you have cars, but
no, it's hour and a half.
Public transportation access, anything. An hour and a half.
Hour and a half
on a train. You know how everybody takes an hour to work anyway.
I once broke up with someone who lived in East Harlem. I was like, I cannot take this.
No.
Wow, but weren't you living in the West Upper West Side at the time?
Gosh. No, it was that's when I lived in Williamsburg. You know, L train to the one to the bus to
You gotta admit you don't really like a person then.
Yes,
because if you really like that person, then you'd sleep over a couple more times, so the travel wouldn't be the same, or whatever it is that you do.
You make perfect sense. So then after the Pittsburgh trip, while I was there, I don't know, I kind of just forgot about him for the most of the time I was there. And then when I was in Pittsburgh. And then when I got back.
Did you tell him about Pittsburgh?
I might have called him while I was there, and I was like, hey, I'm super excited. I think I'm going to move here. I'm going to miss my friends.
Now, when you say tell him about Pittsburgh, that you were going on the trip or that you had extra relations?
Huh?
Is that what I'm to say?
Huh?
I'm just not saying anything that Newsy doesn't say first, huh? Keith Malley.
That's obviously what she just said. Does he know about Pittsburgh? You know what I mean? It's like, did he play with your doodle whacker? Well, I think everybody knows what that means.
Did you visit the Pittsburgh Craigslist? Is that what you're trying to say?
Not while I was there. I didn't have to.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's how good Pittsburgh was.
So Newsy's having relations in Pittsburgh.
I had small relations there. Yeah, but either way, when I got back... like I said, I kind of figured that I wanted to move to Pittsburgh. So we met up for the first time since I got back. And I was just going to tell him that, hey, I'm really enjoying Pittsburgh and I'm probably going to move there. So maybe we want to slow things down a bit. But he took that as, let's break up now. So we broke up now.
I don't know how I would take it. If a girl told me, let's slow things down, what does that mean?
It means that I don't. I guess you kind of not like somebody at that point. I don't know. Yeah. I just didn't want to break up right there on the spot.
That's exactly what it means. I didn't want to break up with you on the spot.
Right.
I think what it's...
And I'm letting you know that you should.
So you can do it if you want to be the asshole.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
I think what it's trying to say is I like you so much that the distance, because I know that there will be distance, we should probably not get as close. But again, that's bullshit.
When I break up with somebody, I say, look, I love you too much. Kind of like the dude from Dracula. Like, I love you too much.
Oh.
I can't turn you into a vampire, no,
A. That's Twilight.
And B, it's just not going to work. There's too much passion here.
Well, see, that's why I say, like, why even with me personally bother getting in relationships? Because this happens all the fucking time. It happens that I'm just never into the person as much as they are into me. Why bother? I will stay single and just...
No offense, but you're right.
Yeah.
Because you let people know in the beginning that you will never be as into them as they are, and that you usually break up with people as soon as they're into you.
Yeah.
And there's a warning sign, and I feel like, and usually people accuse women of being like, oh, don't worry, you'll find love and it'll be fine, and this idea of sort of changing the person. But I really feel like nobody listens.
Right.
If they like you, they like you. And you kind of can't blame them, because love or admiration or, you know, just lust is an addictive thing. It's like, oh, well, I don't want to drink today, but it won't hurt just this once, and just I'll just have a couple of drinks. I think that's the same thing as like, oh, well, I'll just hang out and I'll keep myself separated, and it's not really necessarily how it works.
That's something, though. Can you ever, you're never going to be able to be with a person.
I guess never say never, but just not anytime soon. I think I'm just way too selfish and into myself to be into anybody else.
But also, you're coming from I just got the signal to put my face into the screen. Hello. Hi, America. I'm Denmark. You're coming from a gay male background and perspective, which is like, there's so many things that you can do to get a hookup and not feel alone, like,
see,
temporarily.
I would agree with you, except he doesn't really even do that.
You don't?
No, there's just nothing happening.
I'll get to the hookup site, and you know, where I'm back and forthing with a guy, and then when it becomes like too serious, or when it, like, they actually want to meet, I'm just like, well, that means I have to do this and this, or I could just jerk off, and I'm not horny anymore, and I go to sleep, and that's that.
Yeah, there's like no motivation to go out. There's like, you know, he came from where there's not a lot of gay community to a place where there's, you know, entire neighborhoods full of restaurants and clubs and whatever. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Did you go once? I think you went once.
Twice. That's it. Yeah. And the second time that I went, I did make out with somebody. But then they said, do you want to get out of here and go back to my place? And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah, I never met a guy, generally, gay or straight, with less motivation to get laid, ever.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I never met a girl with less motivation to get laid.
It's funny. All of my, I guess, sexual interactions I prefer are online, and they're always very long and drawn-out processes of me trying to convince somebody to want me or to
until
want to
they
hook
do.
Up. Until they do. And then at that point, I'm like, okay, well, I got what I wanted, and this is boring. I should find a way to block this person.
Do you ladies...
Block them?
Yeah, now they can't even follow your Twitter.
What happened?
Do you ladies know ladies like this? Like, maybe it's a feminine trait. Do you know? Do you girls know other women?
I don't think I would be friends at this point with other women like this, but I think that... and I don't mean like...
Sure.
I think women would be different about it. They would probably want to do it more in person. I don't think this is feminine or gay or anything like that. I think it's very newsy specific. I think it has to do with his dad mostly. I think it has to do
his
with his dad.
His dad didn't give him attention?
Mostly. No, he gave him very negative attention. Very, you're a pussy. Very, like, you know, don't have any feelings or you're an asshole. And I feel like newsy feels like he loses when he shows any emotion. And so, like, to be one up on someone, he always has to have less feelings.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at this.
I've been studying Newsies.
Psychoanalyze.
Boom! And then Newsy goes, I also like to say, and he goes, I already figured you out. Next! Well, Newsy is moving to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And who are you moving in with?
Eddie. He's Onion Bag on the forums.
You're moving in with Onion Bag. And Onion Bag is married, right?
Yes.
Now, so you're moving in with a married couple.
Yep.
I find this very odd.
I guess, yeah, it was odd. I stayed with them while we were in Pittsburgh, and by the end of the trip, you know, she had never met me before. I'd never met him before also, but she was just like, Newsy's been one of the best guests we've had. You know, he cleaned up after himself. He was enjoyable to be around. You know, you can come back and visit anytime. And then Eddie was like, well, if you ever want to come out and stay again, you know, I got a guest room. It's all yours or whatever. And then I was just like, I don't know. I think I'm going to move here. And he's just like, I'll talk to Catherine and see what's up.
Now, this is a temporary move into their house until you find a place?
Yes, until I get my own apartment or house.
Are you putting your own cap on it? Like, I will only stay here a month because otherwise I think
I say 2 months. Just because something always happens with money. Where you think you're going to plan to save and then something always happens. So I think 2 months would be...
I know what happens with you and money. Something always happens with money. Yeah. I get it, and then I spend it.
There's a new Twizzler pack out.
If rent is not due the day he gets his check, it's over.
I didn't know Teddy Grahams would come out with a special pack for Christmas. It's a $100 family pack. In the end, I save more buying it.
Or I'll be watching... I'll just be browsing a porn site, and I'll see one video, and... I want that one video at that moment, so I'll get a whole subscription just to see that one video. And then after I'm done, I'm like, wait, There's $10 gone. Now I can do what? Jerk off to that same video again?
Like a video of what? Like a porn site, you're saying?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So that's how I spend my money.
Is there anything homosexual-wise going on with you and this husband?
Not at all.
Not at all?
No, no, no. He's, okay. He's very much not attracted to men. He's got a gay brother, so that's where all the gay in the family went.
How long have they been married?
Two, maybe 3 years.
Two, maybe 3 years. I can't imagine letting somebody indefinitely stay over my house.
No, I can't either, but I feel like Newsy is very charismatic. I feel like, if I may, Onion Bag, talk about you without knowing you, sounds like they just live like your average I'm married life, and Newsy's the excitement for the moment. But also, that's what I think.
We're from New York. Like, real estate here is really premium. Like, do they have a big house? Can I ask? Yeah. Oh, so, the, like, they're not, you're not going to be, like, bumping into them constantly. Mm-hmm. Are you going to have your own bathroom?
No, but I mean, there's lots of space to get away and get away from them.
So, like, he can be taking a shit and you can be brushing your teeth without even facing each other, right? That's not a thing.
That's what I was trying to get at.
I live with two people in super close quarters now, and that doesn't even happen.
I can also see being a couple, and if I really like someone and they're moving into my town, I could see having them over. I wouldn't say indefinitely because that's too scary an idea for me, but I could see a month. Like, just, hey, I really like this person. Wouldn't it be cool if they'd be around and also we'd be helping this person? And it would have to be in a place like outside of New York where they have their own room. They have their own bathroom, you know, that kind of stuff.
You've seen them together, right?
Yes.
How are they together? How's their relationship?
They seem like a married couple.
Yeah.
At the end of the night, you know, they sit down for dinner.
Understood.
And,
all right.
Watch TV and
okay.
stuff.
Okay, yeah, they do. So Newsy's going to Pittsburgh. Yes. And this, I wonder, when you were when your friend over there, Ben, did you say?
Eddie.
I'm sorry, Eddie. Eddie has you over, and Eddie's almost whining and dining you. Eddie's taking you to, you're not into football. Eddie takes you to a Penn State game or Pitt game.
Right.
And, you know, here's the T-shirt to it. Here's your popcorn. Here's this and that. All of a sudden, you're into football, and it's the greatest thing. He's paying for everything. Do you think that confused you on how great Pittsburgh is?
No, he wasn't paying for
everything.
Oh, he
wasn't?
Okay. He has season passes, so there was an extra ticket already. I bought my own shirt. It's something new to get into. If you move somewhere, or even if you just pick up a new hobby, you're like, hey, this is fun. I want to get into this. I want to get involved. Let's go all the way. And during that time, I was just like, I can see myself coming out to games. This is fun. The excitement, I can actually follow for some what's going on in the football game and stuff, so I can get into that.
I also don't think moving for Newsy is the same as moving for other people.
I move every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I think when he moves, it's just, whatever, I pack my shit. Like, where everyone, I get overwhelmed. Like, I know I'm moving out of this house pretty soon, and if I can throw all my shit out instead of moving, that would be lovely.
Right.
But you were saying, sorry.
No. It's just, yeah, moving is, I do it all the time, so it's no big deal to me.
What attracts you the most about Pittsburgh?
What's happening right now is that I'm confusing the people at my job with all of New Yorkers, and I hate the people at my job.
Your coworkers or customers?
The customers.
Okay.
So I find myself saying, like, I hate fucking New Yorkers, I hate this, but it's just the people at my job. But still in my head, like, I've got that whole, like, this negative energy towards the city. So Pittsburgh doesn't have that. It had nice people that you saw when you were there. I mean, I guess, I don't know, you might have had a different experience, but I had a really good experience with all the people that were there.
I didn't have a bad experience.
I like the vibe of the city. I just liked it a lot, and it has what I was lacking from New York. It has the scenery, and it has nature and stuff like that, like right outside the city. And that's something I definitely want to get back into. Also,
do you plan or you just don't know? Do you know that you're moving back to New York, or you just?
I don't know. I know eventually I want to come back. It might be 6 months. It might be 2 years. Who knows?
All right. Who's taking your place in the clown car house?
Ooh, some crazy old man who...
You guys don't give a shit, do you? You guys really don't? How the fuck old are you in that house? Nobody cares who moves in there.
It's going from Brendan will be the oldest at 24 to now this other man will be the oldest at like 67 or
67 year old. Why not? You guys can really relate.
Why not? He pays the rent and he likes
is
the
he
old
starting
style
over
of...
What's going on? Did he just get out of jail?
He lives down the road now, but the house that he's in is shutting down or not shutting
like
down
being condemned.
This is, something's happening.
That's so cute. You guys are so young. That's so cute. This is something an adult would wonder, like, why do you need a new place? across the street, condemned. I got to get out now. Well, you know what? Already it's too. Don't even worry about it. I've had things. Yeah, murder, and then it's all bullshit.
I see the
You know how cops are bullshit.
I don't believe what you see on TV. I'm a good guy.
I see the concern on Kyle's face. He's about to go on tour soon. He wants to get somebody in this house that can pay the rent so that shit gets paid so he can still live his life.
Yeah, you know how you don't go to you don't go shopping when you're hungry? You don't look for roommates when you're desperate.
That's true.
That's a person. I don't know. What's he do for a living?
Ask him. Who knows?
Who the fuck knows? Who cares?
Lock your doors, clown car.
Not my roommate.
You know what? He doesn't get in my business. Why would I get in his?
So Claudia just said, lock your door. There's not a door on everybody's room.
Oh, there isn't?
No.
Oh, that's great for all kinds of things.
Yes.
I don't know what this house is like. I probably maybe
live
there.
It's two bedrooms and a den, and the den is my room now. The den will be Kyle's room, and the crazy new guy will get the small room.
He didn't even move in yet. The crazy new guy.
Well, he stopped me on the street outside of the house, and he was telling me that somebody had recommended this house to him, and I was like, I gotta go to work. Here's Kyle's number. Call him. Goodbye.
Oh my God, I would kill you.
Yeah. Here's the keys.
Here's Kyle's number.
Just take a look around. Let me know what you think. I'll be back in a half hour.
Right.
Lock it up. I mean, and then Kyle's mad at me. And I said, well, if we don't trust him now, why would you trust him living with you?
Oh, my God. This is the first not Keith and the Girl person.
I was going to say, that's their fault for not putting an add-on on the forums. You could have had some other Jeremy moving into the city to hang out.
Hey, I didn't. It's not like I've been perfect with roommates. I let a guy move in with me once that... He's hanging out. We're getting along great, really down to earth and everything. And so, and I have like two other roommates, and we're drinking, and I wanted to see what he's like drinking. I just want to maybe get that honesty out of him. Who knows where it's going to go? And he was still fine. It was fun. So then we're just doing our thing. He's hanging out a little bit. Next thing I know, he's by our door on the inside, pissing. Just peeing away, thinking that's where the bathroom is.
But he already paid his security.
Right,
He didn't even, and I'm like, I still like him. Maybe it's a fluke. Well, it ends up, you know, he has a drinking problem. He fights with my roommate. Paddy wagon comes. He fights with the cops. They throw him in the wagon. You see the whole wagon shaking. They had to mace him and everything. I didn't see it coming. Don't we all have to go to the bathroom?
Well, I had something, I guess, similar. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and I had to be in a new place by December 1st, and only one person asked. It was like on Thanksgiving Day, and I'm like, that's weird. Okay, but whatever. You ignore all the red flags. This is the only person willing to see me on Thanksgiving. That's odd.
Right.
But you always think like, hey, I'm going there on Thanksgiving. I don't have anything to do. I'm a normal person. So met her. She seemed a little odd. Should have known she was a cokehead who would steal all my shit, answer the phone like she needs to give out opinions to my friends about me, my music, or anything else when she doesn't even know them, and stealing my shit, and nobody gave a fuck. And by nobody, I mean the cops.
I had to move in really fast too. This is like the emergency is how you get into these people's homes, and that's how they make their money. Is because everyone's got like a dire situation. I moved in with a guy on Craigslist, met him. I was like, he was dressed really nicely. He's an architect. He was gay. The house was really nice. I was like, okay, this is fine. He had a parrot. I was like, okay, you know, he can take care of a parrot every day.
All good signs,
you know, a reliable human being. First night I'm there, he's like in his room till like 2 o'clock in the morning smoking weed with his friend, and that's fine. And then I realized, like, it's not just weed. It was meth. And he was, like, kind of in a downward spiral. Because the reason why he had the space was he just broke up with his boyfriend. And so, like, he was like, I'm going to die or bring everyone with me, I think. Like, whoa. He was fucked up. And so I was like, after, like, 3 weeks, I was like, hey, I think I'm moving to L.A. And then he let me go, and I was like, oh my God, it was such a close call.
Well, I have a friend, Christina, who's looking on Craigslist for an ad, and she went to go meet with some guy, and he shows up to the door, and he's wearing a robe, and she didn't really take account into the fact on the ad that he said he's a naturalist. Yeah.
Okay. It sounds healthy.
Yeah. He's normally around the house naked. He just decided to put the robe on while she was there. And that she didn't last for like 5 minutes while she was there, because she got the message when she saw the robe.
Yeah, no. I would think a naturalist is maybe the food has to be so-and-so right. in such a manner. And even still...
Why are you
would,
telling me? Just make your own food.
No well, parabens.
Well, it could be like, I need to keep a kosher house. I need to keep this kind of house, you know? And then even still, only in a desperate situation would somebody who's not a naturalist move there, yeah. you know? And MJG is saying, these are only in New York stories.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Claudia wanted to get out of the house, and she's like, okay, listen, we have to slow down. This is going too fast. Me in the house with you.
You know what? Why don't you just move out now?
Okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Okay. You know what? If you want to go
I'm
there.
I'm packed. That's great that you just what a coincidence.
Claudia just moved in with Ben Lerman.
I did just move in with Ben Lerman.
How's that working out so far?
It's going great. We're learning new
things
about each other.
I like that high. The end. It's going great.
Now, he's gay and you're gay. Is there sexual tension?
Oh, my God. You would not believe.
You have to set boundaries.
I lock my doors at night.
That's, like, the most safe situation that you could live in. Like, there's no, oopsie, I slept with my roommate. There's no anything. Neither one of you would ever go there.
I'm just afraid I'm going to come home, like, for some reason in the middle of the day, and, like, there's going to be, like, some...
Bear orgy.
A bear orgy. Some bear rubs.
Is it like 3 a.m.? It's like, put the fucking ukulele away. Rockstar, I need some sleep.
He does, what he'll do is like, he'll go in the living room and like, he'll play his keyboard, like if I'm watching TV, but like he'll put his headphones on and I can still hear the keys like getting
it's
like.
It's worse.
Yeah, it's almost worse. It's like, yes. What is he playing? Yes.
The clicking of keyboard, you'd be surprised how annoying that is.
Who does that?
Everybody clicks, Keith. Everybody has a keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
our big contentious point is who leaves more hair in the bathroom. Because I've got long hair, but he's covered in hair. So he says, like, so we'll have these, like, battles. Like I mean, I don't want to give away his secrets, but he's been on Bear 411. And I'm like, that is, like, an admission right there that you have way more hair than I do.
It's a website for hairy men.
I think so, yeah.
Thank you.
Or people who love it.
Thank you.
Newsy's there until they want him back.
Yeah, you should know about this.
I don't. I don't know anything about the gay world. Whatever.
You don't know.
But you guys are, everything's going fine so far. Nobody's, are either of you leaving your panties in the bathroom?
I mean, I think so far we're still kind of like, even though we're good friends, we're still a little strangery with each other. So I think we're on our best behavior right now.
That's good. Yeah, you know, when somebody's doing, not even meth, when somebody's doing weed, the first time they move in with somebody, to me, that's a little strange.
That is very comfortable.
You're a little comfortable. Yeah. And I know you're living with this person forever, but you can hide your weed day one.
Or maybe talk about it? Because I don't know, because weed isn't
like,
that
hey,
big to me.
I just moved in with you.
Would you drink out of a 40 the first day that somebody moved in?
No, I wouldn't sit on the countertop, drink from, you know, you give it a little time. You don't, even if like, all right, I'm an adult, we both drink, I had a tough week, it's the weekend, I'm going to get smashed. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't walk around the house.
Just put it in a sippy cup.
Yeah, the roommate's seeing, I'm all drunk. Like, no, it's just the weekend, I'm an adult. Like, calm down, move in slowly, a little respect.
Yeah, if someone's not worried about how they come across, yeah, then there's something wrong with them.
I agree, wholeheartedly. I'd move in with Claudia.
Oh, okay.
Get Ben out of there, I'm looking for a place.
Do it.
Thank you. Well, I wish you... When do you leave for Pittsburgh, Newsy?
This Saturday.
Whoa!
Yeah,
that's
very
fast.
Soon. If I don't do something, then I'll just hem and haw forever and never make it happen. So I'm going.
Well, he'll be at Sacapuntas tomorrow night if you guys want to say your goodbyes.
And I think I'm going to stay for the Lower East Side contest afterwards.
Oh, Mr. Lower East Side?
Yeah, why not see some dicks before I go?
You should totally try out for Mr. Lower East Side.
And then leave New York?
Totally. Yeah, I think you have a good chance.
There's a swimsuit competition, and I don't like that.
You know what they would like? They would like you because they're so self-righteous.
Mm.
And what a joy and a treat it is for them to vote for a black person for the first time.
Oh. Has there never been a black contestant?
Of course not.
Of course not.
But black people go to those fucking freak art shows?
I can't
please.
Put my penis in my own butt. So that's what somebody did last year.
That disgusts them.
Okay.
They're making, by doing that, you're making fun of the gay lifestyle. And they don't enjoy that.
So should I go up there and do things with women? Be like, look, I'm gay, and this is what I do. Because I don't care about stereotypes. Fuck it.
No, you get up there. You just touch your arm, you know, like they do in the old days.
Oh.
Yeah, but in the bad way, you're doing it in a good way. And you go, look what I am.
That's right. Should I go in blackface?
No, you have a blackface, Nosy.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. So you were not raised right. That is, Kendo was right. yesterday we were talking about this was a prank, by the way. This, a guy did a prank on his friend, early 20s, both of them, and he took an air rifle, which I was comparing to this airsoft gun I have. And I understand it's different. I understand it can kill small game, it can, rabbits and whatnot, birds, these air guns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so he had an air rifle, and he pointed it at his friend's chest, and the prank was going to be he's going to shoot him and just startle him.
While he's sleeping.
Yeah, meanwhile, it goes through things, these air guns. Well, anyway, never mind that. He took the wrong rifle. He took a real one. You know how you place some bows right by your wall, and he just grabbed the wrong one and shot his friend and killed him. And the more I think about it, the more I think this is deliberately, and this was his plan. He probably went out and bought an air gun that day.
There's a whole different weight to guns that you can tell. Like, right off the bat, picking it up, an airsoft is not nearly going to be as heavy as a regular rifle.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Well, let me say again, yeah. It's not an airsoft. I understand it's an air gun, and that is different. And maybe it is as heavy, and I saw somebody showed me pictures side by side of a real rifle. And they do look similar, and they try to give you the weight. You know, you're probably paying $100, $200 for these air guns. They try to give you the right kind of weight, but... Yeah, no, I think I would know. Here's what Dark Lobo is saying. An air rifle is not the same thing as an airsoft rifle. Air rifles can be pretty heavy. They shoot metal pellets and can be used for hunting small animals like birds or rabbits. And I've seen some of these things they shoot. While the back end is hollow, the front isn't. And it's
Yeah, you
it's
can
metal.
Get them pointed.
It's, and pointed. Mm-hmm. Who knows if it was pointed?
So here's the thing. He's shooting his friend from a close range. He knows that he can really hurt someone.
Oh, but that's just being an asshole.
Oh, I guarantee Four Loko was involved.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
For a look.
There's your victimless crime. Okay? She's saying being shot with an air rifle can be fatal, or most rifles, if he did this rifle, he probably had to load it, and right there he would be able to tell it's not a real rifle. Or it is a real rifle, not an air rifle.
What, or it could be
there
loaded.
Are so many holes in this story.
But the shoot your friend in the chest prank was the poll. And you can pick, was it a prank gone wrong or it was deliberate? 72% agreeing that it is deliberate.
Send that to the news.
Send it to the news. We uncovered it.
That's 72% worthy of going to jail.
This is how I would clear the court systems.
Oh, God. Have a poll.
It's the ultimate democracy.
Remember we used to do that when we used to hang people in front of grandmas and children?
But in the whole world.
Because the crowd would decide that you're a witch.
You wouldn't. It's not a special membership only poll. It's anybody can poll. And if you don't show up.
If everyone jumps off the bridge, Keith.
If everybody wants to. Is that so bad? Then jump. Yes.
I was hearing this story and I agree with him. If it was an accident, I would kill myself. There's no way I could live with the guilt of I accidentally shot my friend. I got to live with this forever.
Right.
Yeah, and watch the life come out of your friend. Yeah.
And then you have to go to prison because there's no way you're getting out of that.
Yeah, no.
Never mind, you got to leave that town. Everybody knows you're a murderer, even if you got off for it being a prank. And then you got to move in with Kyle and Brankin, you know? And they'll take anybody,
you
so you're in.
You got to go on a lamb. Just be like, I just like shooting airsoft guns, guys. It's cool.
So are you going to be in touch with like Keith and the girl people in Pittsburgh? Because you made some friends when we were out there.
I don't see why not. Yeah, I could start a little mini meetup group out there.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Whole new lifestyle.
Make out some more.
Are you still, but still gay, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's not as much of a scene out there, but I didn't even go to the New York scene, so I don't care.
Being in Pittsburgh when we were there for the live shows when you were there, did a Keith and the Girl live show, did you notice any homophobia?
No. I mean, I understand it's a heterosexual sports town, like sports. We did... Me and three other guys did kind of make out with each other in the middle
public?
Of a bar in public in Pittsburgh. And it's not something I normally do. I just did it because we were in the moment.
Nothing
and,
sexier than that three-way kiss of sloppy tongues.
Four.
Four-way kiss.
Four, right.
Oh,
right.
My God.
There was one black guy at the back of the bar that was just kind of like beside himself. He was like, what the y'all don't do that here. This isn't a place for that shit. Get out. And like all the other guys at the bar were just kind of like turning their heads, just like kind of not. And that was the only time that I actually realized that I was like, oh, hey, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But it's done and whatever.
Why not? You're allowed to do that. Right. I've seen, you know.
It's your right.
Especially ever since.
It's in the Constitution.
Well, ever since I talked about how in public Lauren and I get all harassed and everything, and then the response, for example, from Spooky or whatever, it's like, oh, well, why are you guys all over each other in public? I'm like, I don't think we are, and even if we are, I feel like we have the right to be mushy and squishy and even kissing in public. Ever since then, I've been noticed, hey, straight couple, why are you doing this in my face? You know, like, I'm noticing a lot of people are doing it.
They shove their lifestyles in our face.
I know, right? It's so gross.
It makes me sick.
Let's not forget, Newsies has four people going on. Sorry if I'm staring or find it awkward, but I find it a little unhygienic.
I don't think they're turning around because it's unhygienic. I think if it was four girls making out, nobody would be like, this is so unhygienic.
You don't think anybody would comment?
I would.
I think they would comment, but of course. It would be different.
Wait, were you guys kissing all at once? Like together?
No,
like,
it was kind of like I kissed you, now I'm going to kiss you, and I'm going to kiss you, and like that was happening like together.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah. Come on.
I thought it was like a Jersey Shore kiss.
Yeah, this isn't Girls Gone Wild.
Okay, I apologize.
It's Gays Gone Wild.
It's sports fans gone wild.
This person, Jeremy from Boise, is not pleased that I don't understand why there's a Green Lantern movie. I remember being into superheroes growing up. My friends never talked about the great Green Lantern.
That might have been your generation, but I definitely, there's a lot of Green Lantern when I was growing up. Yeah.
Were you excited? You're like, Green Lantern
Absolutely.
Movie.
He's got a fucking ring that can turn into anything.
So he I saw part of the promo. He pictures a fist.
Yes.
So a giant green fist comes out of the ring and punches the bad guy.
That's right. Yeah, he was just getting to know what's going on. So in his head, he was like, oh, man, what if I had a giant fist? And boom, and it happened.
But you know what, Keith? Mm-hmm. There are French fries talking to a soda with a straw mm-hmm. in it. So I don't know how much whatever generation. Yeah, the cartoon with the French fries.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe the Green Lantern isn't
you know
really.
Every cult show.
Too much.
You do.
A little bit too much.
A little too, but like, I couldn't even, I've never watched Glee.
It's great.
you know about the Green Lantern, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, like, anything that's, like, culty and, like, available on DVD, and that's how they make it, like, make any other money, like, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy is not pleased. He's saying, listening to yesterday's show, fuck you, Keith. Green Lantern is going to be a great movie. I'm saying I don't get it. This guy thinks he's Green Lantern's brother. He thinks he's Blue Lantern.
Well, Blue Lantern is a different Lantern Corp, Keith, actually. They're actually the healers of the Lantern Corp.
I just want to clarify.
So he walks around with a lantern.
The lantern is the source of the power.
So he keeps a lantern in his house and has to recharge his ring like an iPod.
Yes.
And then he says a poem, right? Light and
it's
dark.
It's not a poem, Keith. That's like an oath.
Recite it, Newsy.
I actually don't know I will give you that. I do not know that one.
It's like in darkest night, and lightest light, I have the might. I'm the Green Lantern. Go, might. Green Lantern, go.
Right.
And then he takes the ring, and he can do whatever he wants. But if it's not charged 100%, he doesn't have all his powers.
And...
Weakness. My God, this is where Kat got the idea that she has to power up her entire iPhone before she can mm-hmm. call you.
Her iPhone
she
has power.
To fight power. She has to fight people. And his weakness is the yellow lantern. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah. The color yellow affects him. Yeah. That's a superhero. A color yellow affects you. Okay.
Wait, what does it do to him?
Bad
it weakens
things.
Him, yeah.
It weakens him?
Yeah, it weakens him. Actually, I feel like I'm pissing people off right now. I only have no Green Lantern, so that might be wrong.
How dare you?
Yeah, there's so much more to know.
But all Keith was saying yesterday was he doesn't know how they're putting a movie out because he doesn't recognize people being excited for it. But at Comic-Con, if you probably didn't pay attention, but every other person was wearing a Green Lantern shirt, had the rings, and it's not just because of the movie coming out. Green Lantern is a thing. People really are into it.
There's not enough... It looks that way because you're in this nerd community.
It looks that way because Target is not selling those shirts as much as they're selling the Superman and Batman shirts.
Right.
That's why.
Well, why?
Because Target doesn't know that people aren't a Green Lantern. Because
they're not. And of course, they're going to know anything you say. The monkey from Wonder Twins. They're like, hey, the monkey.
I almost said a name, but I don't think it's that. Zim Zam or Flim Flam.
Flim Flam. Flim Flam the monkey.
Why not?
But this guy's upset. Enjoy your little shitty movie. Sure, it's going to be great. The great Ryan Reynolds.
He's never done anything great.
He's got the power of the ring.
He married Scarlett Johansson, didn't he?
What?
Ryan Reynolds?
Take it back.
What?
She's amazing.
That's pretty.
You like Scarlett?
Yeah, I like
Scarlett. Yeah, she was great in...
Lost in Translation, right.
Iron Man 2.
Oh.
And Barcelona.
All those. Barcelona, Christina Magdalene.
Vicky, Christina, Barcelona. Barcelona's another movie. Excuse me. Excuse me, art fans. Art house movie fans.
Hey, speaking of guns, by the way, this happened in South Carolina. A woman wasn't feeling well. She contacted a spiritual advisor. Spiritual advisor said, all right, to cleanse your soul, you have to return an object that was given to you. So she doesn't say, hey, should I do that? She just does it on her own. She decides to return a handgun to a man that gave it to her 12 years ago. The man's dead, so she just put it on his gravestone. A handgun.
I thought you were going to say she tried to return the baby that was a gift from God. Shot the baby. Could have been a whole lot worse.
I could have been worse. I guess this is okay. So I don't know what. Some of these stories, you're like, well, what's the follow-up? Do you get arrested? Was the gun legal? A guy gave it to you?
And then some kid goes and picks up the gun and shoots somebody.
Of course.
That's the follow-up. Wait for it.
The good news is they're right at the funeral home. They're right at the cemetery. I guess that's good news. There's this new product out. It's called Whip Lightning. And it's whipped cream that's alcoholic. 18% alcohol per volume. Whipped cream.
I feel like on the Food Network, you know those, probably Bed Bath & Beyond has it. I don't know, but, or whatever. they have these whipped cream makers where you just add, like, I think sugar and cream and whatever, and then you make fresh whipped cream.
It's like a spray gun.
Yeah. A place like Starbucks makes their own whipped cream, and it makes super awesome whipped cream. And I feel like on the Food Network, I've seen them use it, and I've seen them put alcohol in there to sort of flavor the whipped cream. Mm. I don't think that's abnormal. I don't know about 18%.
Right.
But at the same time, I wonder, like, I don't know how much it matters, the percent. Obviously, it matters how, you know, if you get super high. But to eat that much whipped cream, I mean, I think that you would get sick of the sugar before you can drink enough to, before you can, you know, down enough that the alcohol would matter as much.
We sip Four Loko. If you're not getting sick of drinking Four Loko, then you
Four
can.
Four Loko, I feel like, is different. Whipped cream is sugar.
But why are they trying to turn something that's so specific? Only some people need to put alcohol in whipped cream to make stuff. How many fucking people are just saying, like, oh, if only I had some alcohol in this whipped cream?
No, it's just another infused flavor. For example, like the dairy milk that, you know, I get hazelnut or whatever. You know, I think it's just like, there's chocolate whipped cream. I think there's strawberry whipped cream. I think this is just another.
But 18%, you're going to say
it's
infused
alcohol?
Flavor? Yeah.
That's a lot.
A lot.
You don't think, like, this can go on the list of it's made to get fucked up?
This is not for a nice Food Network treat. This is like for freshmen.
Of course it is.
Like, this is like for like University of Florida freshmen.
So you can do whippets and get drunk at the same time?
You throw a little whipped cream on your Jello shots, you get a little extra.
See, I kind of like that idea, but is it too much? 18% sounds like a lot because I think what, beer is 5 or something?
Right.
So that sounds like a lot. And a shot of Jello goes down so smoothly already. Now you're adding an extra layer of, you know, sort of like a fuck me after I pass out juice.
By the way, it's the only thing that Charlie Sheen will apply to a hooker's body.
Brooklyn Coffee Shop is offering customers a coffee with 10 shots of espresso in it. We're not chefs anymore. Between Four Loko and the 10 espresso drink, you're not a chef.
10 espresso.
Hey, this is my creation. I kept pushing go. 10 shots of espresso is your drink, considered porn in a cup, the official name being Daiichi, D-I-E-C-I, it's Italian for 10, and went on sale at the Pulp and the Bean in the Crown Heights neighborhood on Tuesday of Brooklyn. The shop owner is 37 years old. He says sales were brisk in part because nobody's ever had the chutzpah to do anything like this before.
I tried, Lauren used to drink this a lot more, but she can drink a triple espresso, and she would drink it every day. When I first met her. And to me, that sounded like a heart attack. But when she would try to order it, people would look at her funny. So a triple, which is 3 shots, made people look at you funny. Now you're trying to push 10 shots. If everyone's looking at you funny, and we're in New York, we're like, sure, stay up however you want to fucking stay up. Why would anyone take a 10 shot?
This is for the person who wants to experience the limits of where coffee and espresso can go.
And your heart
doesn't
come
with an adult diaper. Well, this was the second you walk out of the store and shit your pants.
Well, this was Claudia's roommate with the meth. It's like, I'm trying to see where the body can go.
trying to see where these all-night sessions. By the way, just footnote, how did he get out the door in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
10 espressos up his nose.
let's see where the body can go. Regular David Blaine's. Mr. Fisher opened his shop specializing in latte coffee and chai tea about a year ago. In a neighborhood that has traditionally been split between Orthodox Jews and Caribbean immigrants, but has seen an influx of young professionals who make up the bulk of his clientele, and he knows they always want to get fucked up. Mr. Fisher came up with the idea of finding that a double espresso was not enough. Sometimes I'll drink a double espresso, he says, and I say to myself, I need another double. And then another double will turn into another double.
You know, you might want to consider sleeping more at night.
The beverage is not for everyone, especially considering such a large dose of caffeine can increase heart rate and blood pressure, and he says he won't sell it to anybody in their 40s and up. I'll just tell them I can offer an alternative. 9 espressos.
With a shot of alcohol whipped cream on top.
Right. That'll give you. You're an adult.
That'll balance it out.
My Lord. Hello, Keith and Chemda. I'm 18 years old, female, gives a lot of shits. I have a pretty embarrassing question, says Dina. Dina Osmond, if you know her.
Nice.
Pretty embarrassing question. I thought you guys would be able to tell the cold, hard truth about it without me having to face any people face to face.
Goodness.
I, like Keith, did not discover masturbation until late in life, as in last year, she is a virgin. How so either 17 or 18. She's 18 now.
Oh, okay.
I didn't masturbate until I was 18.
I didn't masturbate until I was 25.
It's abnormal for all of us. Let me be clear.
24.
Disgusting. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. All right, 12. There we go.
12 years old. Newsy makes sense. Can you believe he's the normal one?
I'm sorry, I meant 24 weeks.
Well, she says, I didn't do this at first, but now every time I get an orgasm, I have a serious amount of female ejaculate. I was
good
a little freaked out the first time and tensed up. Now I'm more relaxed about it and get ready to go by putting a towel down and saying to myself, don't worry about it, just orgasm. So I do that, and tonight my roommate interrupted me and to come in and talk to me and sat down on my bed, and she got her pants wet.
Oh, what?
I wonder if a huge amount is natural. I'm doing both external stimulation with a silver bullet and sometimes internal with another thing. I wonder if a guy will ever eat me out and he'll get hit by a sprinkler. Thank you, guys. You're awesome. And the reason I went and bought my first vibrator. It's the best gift you could have possibly given me. I click refresh on my iTunes podcast page like 50 times a day, hoping there's a new show. Dina.
First off, she's peeing. And second of all, she should sell those wet panties to people on the internet and make tons of money.
Okay, see, now we're not going to listen to Newsy anymore on this subject.
You know, I am not, I'm not convinced about what squirting is. I've heard from women. I've heard in interviews with more than one porn star saying it's bullshit and that it's urine. And maybe I'm not saying a girl is lying that when she's squirting, but it could be pee and she doesn't think it is. But I don't know. Then you have women that swear by it and is just going to call me an idiot.
I think it's real. I've never seen it squirt across the room, but I've seen squirt rather than like gush.
Sometimes, guys, we have a nice load, but can you imagine you're hitting the other side of the wall?
I feel like there's so much we just don't know about the human vagina that it's possible.
Yeah. There better not be more. I swear.
Oh, there's so much.
I'm out.
You don't have to be in for that long.
It depends.
But yeah, I think it is possible there's squirters. Like, there's all kinds of theories. Like, oh, like if you touch like the spongy tissue, that's apparently I don't have any spongy tissue that I found so far. But like, there's theories of how to get it going. And I mean, like, you would know when you piss, right? Don't you know when you pee?
Yeah, and I also think you know what it looks like. You know what it smells like. It smells way different than ejaculate.
Maybe it's a mixture. Maybe you got a little bit of ejaculate. Maybe you got the...
You still could smell urine, though.
Urine in its purest form before it picks up the old vitamins.
Yeah, if you're peeing a certain... Sometimes when people pee, you can't smell it. It's like a clear pee, and there's just no smell to it.
That's true.
And it feels different, I think.
Different consistencies. She should... Okay, she should squirt into like a tub one day and perform experiments on it and stuff. Like, see what's jellier than more liquid, maybe, or something like that.
He's
That's
right.
Fine, but you know, let's say she is peeing when she comes. First of all, I really don't think so, and I think we're just scaring her. And I think you can just. You could be those women, and you might be touching all the right places at all the right time because it's you doing it. And especially if you're going in and on the outside, you're really stimulating the ever-living shit out of you.
Go pee before you masturbate and see what happens.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, not squirting.
Right.
Do a couple tests. Throw it into a bucket. Take one of those things that tell you if it's an acid
the
or a base.
The pH strips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send it to a lab.
Right. I think look at it.
I think good for you, and you don't have to worry about it, but lock your door until you clean up so that your roommate doesn't have to come sit on your
jizz. Well,
that's
in the mattress now. She can't get that shit out.
You know, Cindy Adams used to squirt, and Jazzy would look it up.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Woman's best friend.
I don't know. Even for guys, it all comes out of the, you know, the one hole, and I can tell the difference in sensations between ejaculate and pee. So I would never be able to confuse that.
You can tell it yourself, your own body, you mean.
Right. You can tell whether you're about to pee or you're about to come.
Well, women can also.
Right, so then maybe she needs to experiment
with
those feelings.
Women are really dumb. I mean, come on.
I actually work with girls who didn't know what the hymen was, and these are 18-year-old girls who didn't know what a hymen was.
But you don't have to know to feel it. But you know what? A lot of women don't know what's happening down there.
Agreed. Totally.
I mean, I mean, really don't know what's happening. Sometimes you can orgasm inside a woman. She might not even know it.
Right.
Like they,
and those are the best.
Those are the best. All gotcha. Right. Gotcha. Yeah. But they can't feel everything.
Right.
That's going on.
No, you can't always feel when a guy comes inside you.
Well, see, that's
I'm guessing, yes.
No, you really can't. You can totally fake that out.
So there you go. So, you know, then maybe they're not going to know what's coming from what. You just know you want, I got the buh excitement. I don't know if it's buh, ping, buh. I had an orgasm, but who knows what else is going on. You can't think what else is going on. I go blind when I come. You know, you don't know what the fuck is going on around you.
But what's her question, though?
Is, she just wants to be prepared a little bit. Is this going to happen when she's fucking a guy?
Maybe, and so what? You can come all over a guy. He'll come all... He's going to aim for your tits, your face, your fucking eyeballs, like...
As if.
Yeah, so what if you squirt on him? I think that's kind of hot.
As a man, let me tell you. You have to warn him. And don't be embarrassed about the warning, because he'll find that attractive.
Yeah. Sure.
He's going to try to get that from you. The only bad news is he's going to feel like he failed as a man. But that's good, because then he'll keep coming back. All right. Or just fake it and pee all over the place.
Can I just say that older guys, I think, would maybe expect it and not be freaked out. Not expect it, but they would go, oh, you're this kind of comer.
I think everybody who's watching porn and who knows about this now knows what a squirter is or whatever. So, like, you could even, like, coyly, like, while you're doing this, being like, I'm a squirter, and he's like, oh shit, this is gonna be exciting, I've never been with one before, and then he's gonna go full throttle.
But if I got my suit on still and I'm cheating on my wife,
right,
tell me,
right? Who needs all of that going down the front of the state in their jeans?
Yeah, I'd sooner have glitter on me.
I love how the guys in this room, the guys who actually you physically ejaculate like that all the time, are like, oh, warn me. Oh, ooh, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I guess that's okay.
I'm polite about that stuff.
No, you're not. You do some fucked up shit with your jizz.
I have
Yeah. Oh. All right.
Oh.
Well, they say, you know what? Wahenda's wrong, because guys do warn. For the most part, if you're given a blowjob, you will say, here she blows.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you will go, your face, eh? Yeah, of course there's warnings. Of course there is.
No, I have problems. I can't. The last person that I was with, actually, we were talking about sex. They said that, you know, they were into facials and stuff. And I told them, I was just like, I don't know that I'll be able to do that. I understand that, I guess, all of sex is supposed to be hot. And I always think about you, Hamda, when I get set, like your reservations about sexuality or whatever. I'm like, I'm so boring. I'm just going to think that I'm like the lamest person because I don't want to come on someone's face. But I don't, because, like, to me, it's granted, it's the part in porn that I watch the most. Like, you always fast forward to that stuff. But when it comes down to it, I can't put that on your face. Then I have to look at you afterwards and watch you clean it up.
I'm still stuck on you think about me.
Oh, well. I have to come on someone's face.
You have to, or else you can't at all. That's. Ugh.
You ever get it in a cut?
Well, I don't really have a choice.
A cut? Yeah. It took me a second. Never in a cut. No. Does it burn?
It stings.
Does it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh. I was having phone sex once. I got it in a cut. I'm like, I gotta go. I like one of those paper cuts in the webbing of the
hand. Oh my god! Okay, oh my god! This is so unhygienic. But we're on the phone. No, that's not what I mean.
Well, let me mention this.
But for the record, I don't feel like everybody has to take it in the face in order to have a good sex life.
Whatever. I think about everything when you talk about people who don't make sex sounds when they're having sex are boring. Whenever, just everything that I think about, I'm like, Hemda's just gonna think I'm such a prude and.
As you're jerking off.
Yeah, and I'm just jerking off.
Man, I'm judgmental.
A little bit.
But when I was trying to figure out the sex and masturbating, that's in the autobiography that I have, and it's coming out. I'm very excited. We're getting it this Friday.
All the copies are coming in this Friday.
And this weekend, we're going to be sending them out.
It's going to be sent out a message to people who are like, hey, when it's time, mm-hmm. I'm happy to help. I'm like, remember when you said you're happy to help? And I called it a book packing party.
Oh, yay.
Like I'm going to trick people to come and help.
Every time they put a book in an envelope, go, yay.
Is there a pizza?
Yes.
Then it's a party.
But it's coming out, and of course you have discounts at the store. KeithandTheGirl.com/store. You type in the code book, you save $2 on every book that you buy. Type in new store, one word, new store. You save 10% off everything you're getting. And these, of course, first edition, sent out first come, first serve. You know, your order will get in. We're just going to send them out first come, first serve.
And this is the only place that you can buy the book is in our store.
I'm very excited. A little nervous. I started writing this when I was 22. I've seen this book enough. And I don't know. I'm excited and nervous.
It's really great. I read it. And it's a very, very good and quick read.
Well, thank you.
And while we're at the store, we lowered the price of our very new shirt, Team KTG shirt, that actually Newsy was a part of putting together. And it was $24. It is $17 now. That is a savings of $7. On top of that, you could put the 10% discount. There's no stopping you.
What?
Yeah. Get the book. That's a lot of savings. Yeah.
Who the fuck is our accountant? All right. Well, take advantage. Remember Thanksgiving? Newsy, of course, was with me. I don't know how you forget when I say remember. How good was I controlling that car when that... I was in a car and I had a car accident.
Oh,
and then, you know, we exchanged information, all that. I start driving or on the highway. The hood pops up into the windshield as we're driving. And I thought I heard, I think everybody in the car did, thought I heard a woman screaming.
It was
screaming.
The eeriest thing in the world. It sounded like there was a woman standing, like, right next to my ear screaming.
Now, Hemda had an idea. Like, it could have been the wind and the way the somehow messing
didn't
with the hood.
Didn't happen the second time the hood popped up.
No, but, you know, it depends. Like, there's a first time and a second time, and wind, you know, has to be exactly the same. You have to be at exactly the speed in order to make the exact same sound.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think the high-pitched woman voice was the wind.
You said it didn't happen the second time? It popped up twice?
When we were going up down the hill, and it popped up again. We had to pop
Oh, yeah, I forgot
then.
It popped up twice.
I can't believe you
forgot about that. Well,
we were on an incline at this point, so we're going down the hill, and he's hitting the brakes, and Larry had to go out real quick and close it down, and we just had to go very, very slowly.
Yeah, I think the first one was so life-threatening that the second one was just like, oh, there it goes again. Of course.
Well, you ask how good were you controlling the car. Your driving worries me a little bit.
Anyways. How so?
You're heavy on the brakes as opposed to like easing into it.
Okay.
But thinking about this situation, now you did do an excellent job. You didn't slam on the brakes as soon as it happened because you realized that that's just going to cause a backup over there. You just slowed down and listened to a scream at you. You can see, even though we're the ones navigating you. So.
I wonder if the screaming was really Newsy and Kyle in the back seat screaming, and they both look at each other like, I think I heard screaming from a woman. Did you? I thought I did too. Who knows?
That's some dumb chick. She's watching.
Must be a guardian angel.
Kyle was white as a sheet.
Really?
And as soon as it happened, as soon as we pulled off to the road to put the hood down, I was just cracking up laughing. I could not help. It was fucking hilarious.
Where was this? Like, were you
on
the
LIE?
The LIE.
Yeah.
Highway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like a real...
By the way, laughing is another version of nervousness.
Sure.
It's normal.
Everybody's laughing. I'm like, who's telling jokes? Whole fucking car's laughing. Well, here's the story. A Mideast Missouri man has been acquitted of drunk driving after claiming that he drank alcohol to keep warm... But after, not before, he was driving and got into a car crash. He was acquitted. The accident happened in February. Defense attorney says Stephen Wilson says it was a set of facts you don't see every day. It was told to the court that he had been out with friends the night of the wreck. Driving home on an icy road, he drove into a culvert. What's a culvert?
It's like, I guess, like a ditch on the side of the road.
He says he was not intoxicated while driving, but he was by the time emergency workers arrived. He
Why
was
not?
Left in the cold for more than 2 hours, and so he drank to keep warm.
Why not?
They can't tell, right?
That is actually a legitimate thing that people do. Like, people cover up that they were drunk driving by, like, drinking after the accident.
That's funny.
That also makes
so sense. Helpful tip for all your holiday driving needs.
Well, somebody, as a joke, they said, if you ever get pulled over for drunk driving, keep, like, a little small bottle of alcohol with you, and when you get out of the car, chug it real fast. I'm like, it was just right now. I just drank.
You know what? If I was a cop, I'd find something on
you
if
you did that.
You're
an asshole at that point.
Yeah.
Right. I would throttle whoever did that, yeah.
That's obnoxious.
I always keep a gun. Because, you know, isn't that funny? Like, you know, God forbid, you end up getting caught
right.
drunk driving. Like, how about maybe don't? Okay. Nosy, what was your idea? Dear Keith and Chemda, this is from Jonathan. I'm 36, male, sober. I give about 24 late crampy shits about this email.
I love how people are so, what's the word?
Creative.
Creative with these shits they're taking. I don't know if you know this, Claudia, but a while ago, Keith came up with, he needs to know how much you give a shit about your email. So you need to start your email with how old are you, mm-hmm. and how much shit do you give about your email. So and, people okay. get creative.
And if you're sober or drunk, because I couldn't just go by the time. That's okay. what I would usually do. Emails between midnight and 6 a.m. I didn't need to read.
Oh, I thought the sober thing was like, I don't drink. Like, he was like trying to tell people he doesn't drink.
No, yeah, he's okay, letting so that he's, know so that.
Thank you.
Sometimes I would get emails 3-4 pages long, no exaggeration. And in the early days of the show, I would read those. Now, straight in the garbage.
I think if it's not yet on our wiki page, somebody should put this on our wiki page, right?
So I'd read it and then give my opinion that they wanted. And then we'd go, well, I didn't really care anyway. A and B, I was drunk. And so now it's like, all right, now you have to say that you care. And I get far less dumb emails now. Mm. Yeah. I wanted to relay a story and possibly a request to you. I'm working my way through all of your old podcasts. Last night I was listening to number 907 entitled Gag Me as I went to bed. This is the episode where, among other things, you talked about how horrible the film Wanted was. I was in the process of jerking off while listening. Just a maintenance jerk. Nothing actually sexual about the show. Don't get me wrong, I would fuck all of you given the chance, but just saying at the particular time, it was a thoughtless jerk of unimportance. Well, mid to three-quarter jerk, I started to develop a thigh cramp. Isn't that funny? I think we've all been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't make you stop. You're like, ow, ow, ow!
Just last night.
I tried to move it about my thigh, and that didn't help. I figured if I choked down on my hog, I could bust my nut before the leg cramp hit. I was rapidly approaching my climax and a major cramp, trying to think of progressively nastier thoughts to bring on the end. It was at this point in the podcast when Patrice made the na-na-na-na-na sound from Caddyshack to simulate the curving of Angelina Jolie's bullet in Wanted. Whenever I have heard Patrice make this sound, I seriously guffaw out loud. While I guffawed, my leg full-on cramped, and I had the most amazing orgasm of my life. Unfortunately, I came so hard, I ended up shooting myself in the face, and the noise I made scared the sleeping dog out of the room. You were joking about Jazzy. If I only knew how to curve my shot like Angelina, my beard mess would have been completely avoided. Isn't that something you gotta scrub your beard out? Needless to say, I might be chasing this jizz dragon for the rest of my life. I am fearful that this is how guys like Michael Hutchins and David Carradine begin their slide down the slippery, well-lubricated slope that ends with them dead in a closet. Should I just try to forget the awesomeness of na-na-na-na-na cramp jerking? Or should I try to recreate the phenomenon, which will require some technical assistance from the Keith and the Girl gang? Bringing on the leg cramp is the easy part. Stay dehydrated and lower potassium. I could do that on my own. But I will need some help making an AB porn clip of Patrice doing the na-na-na-na thing. A loop would be fine. Ideally, it would be 30 seconds to a minute long. Although with Patrice, I might be able to hit with a single na-na-na-na. That's my goal anyway.
You know what? Check the forums, man. I'm sure someone's on it right now.
Thanks for taking the time to read this email. I am enjoying the show immensely, and I hope to make my way to New York City for Keith's birthday spectacular. Stickily yours, Recon Cornelius.
Awesome.
So there you go.
What do you think of recreating things?
I don't have the time.
Newsy, you just do it to go to sleep.
I just do it to go to sleep. Yeah, there's nothing that needs to be recreated.
Claudia?
I think you should just try to hold on to the memory.
Otherwise, you're soiling it, so to speak.
Yeah.
I get you. It's like making a sequel to a great movie.
Find new things your body can do.
Maybe punch yourself.
What do you?
Oh wait, no, that was the slippery slope he was talking about.
So what do you mean?
Oh, that's right. Oh God.
You'll think of you'll have like a good orgasm by yourself, and then you'll try. Okay, let me think of what I was thinking then to get it to feel that again.
No, I don't think I ever tried to recreate anything. I think I don't know. I think all orgasms are good because you're coming, but. I don't know. And I have had like bigger ones than before. I just feel like whatever experience you're experiencing then, that's the funness of it. Is that weird? Is that hippie-like?
I don't know what you're saying, so I guess
it's all
weird.
Business with me. Mm-hmm. It's all business.
It's maintenance, like this guy was saying.
Maintenance jerk.
Yeah,
the only way I can come is by getting shot with an air rifle.
Newsy's Twitters kill me. He's like, why would I jerk off if I have somewhere to go and I'm already tired? Oh, me.
Why did I start?
Yeah. Oh, penis, I guess you're going to stay hard until I do this, so let's do it.
And his dick Twitters back.
Newsy's Uzi says.
Please start that.
I know he calls it that, I guarantee it. Looks like I'm on rapid fire. I was cleaning up this week, and I was looking at all the cleaning products that we have under the sink. Do those ever go bad? Because there's no date on them, but we had these for, I'm going to say 7-8 years. I don't even know how long. We had them for the cleaning products for a long, long time. Do they go bad? I don't know what's growing on them. And it's like, there's cleaning product inside. How does things grow on them? But I looked this up on the internet, and I think we were saying this recently, that the Yahoo answers
are the worst.
They're the worst. I think because anybody can add to it. Right. So people don't have the answer. They just guess at the answer. But they say it like it's fact. For example, I'm looking it up, and somebody already asked this, you know, are my cleaning products still good? Like 409, Windex, Liquid Plumber, etc. So here's somebody's answer. By the way, their logo is the Pittsburgh Steelers sign. So
Steelers.
This is where you're going, Newsy. Yes. This is the best answer, by the way. I guess people can agree on what the best answer is. It depends on how they were stored. So already I'm dealing with the scientist.
Okay, I can see that.
Anything that may have frozen and thawed... Where am I going?
The garage.
Or that was stored in a place that was not climate controlled, like mm-hmm. a garage, attic, etc., and may have been exposed to large fluctuations in temperature, possibly causing the formula to change or separate, might be ineffective or even unsafe to use. If Ooh. A product looks like it should, smells like it should, and seems to be working as it should...
And tastes like it should.
Yeah, it's okay to use. If not, toss it. Thank you, scientists that guessed at that. I'm supposed to smell my cleaning products? Smells like chemicals still. Get out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that stuff ever goes bad. I found these old roach things, those roach bombs. Mm. Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh.
You know what I mean? The smoke things, and they just clear a room and whatnot.
What do you mean you found them?
I found them under the sink.
Did we ever buy those?
Oh, yeah. Now I don't know what to do with them.
Move to your next place with them, obviously.
On my way out. See ya, suckers!
Little roach Vietnam in here.
I got a postcard from... Remember, like, I was having these ear problems, and everything's fine now, but it's just it's disgusting. Built up a wax fungus, so gross. And it's been fine for a while. The secret was, take the stuff out and don't put new stuff in. Don't put liquid in. Don't tell me to put vinegar in and yeast. Just let it go. It ended up being fine. Well, I don't know. This upset me. I got a postcard from the doctor saying, your last ear, nose, and throat examination was 6 months ago. Please call us today to schedule an appointment that is convenient for you.
Did your ear start hurting as soon as you read that?
Yes. Now I feel stuff in there. These sons of bitches. It's not a general practitioner. Right. This is very specific. Your ears, nose, and throat. Would you like to come in again?
Well, how many people do you think are coming in? They need repeat visits.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Once you clear it up.
I don't know who... You know what? It was a new guy. We didn't want that guy to be here. I don't know what he was doing, cleaning you up. And
you know what? That's why you kept on getting shit in your ears, because they put the stuff back in, and they were like, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
I think so. I think that they have like an antifungal powder. I think that's fungal. I think it's bugs. How about you don't put anything in my ear? And they just go, ha, 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 and they put it in anyway. See you in a week. Well, I don't think on that. You will. You will. Trust me. I use the bugs.
Here's a trick that doctors do. Years and years ago, over 10 years ago, I went to an ear doctor. And on the way out, they had me fill out their postcard with my address so that when it comes to your house, you don't think it's junk mail because you recognize your own handwriting. Uh-huh. And that's true. When it came in, I'm like, what's this with my own handwriting?
Ew. It's a message from the future.
Right, yeah, basically. It's a good idea.
Dear Keith and Hamda, my name is Johnny Stay on the forums, male, 26, sober at work. Give a nice piece of shit about this email. My girlfriend is a surgical tech at a local hospital where they do a lot of surgeries. She comes home at least once a week and tells me horror stories of the surgery she is part of. 95% of the time, It is a routine surgery that shouldn't take more than an hour, but ends up taking half a day because the surgeon nicks an artery or a piece of a person's bowel or something else they shouldn't be messing with. I guess it can happen. People make mistakes in every line of work. But the most fucked up thing is that the doctor doesn't mention it to the patient after the surgery is over. They just say everything went fine. You're so scared of getting sued that they can mention they can't mention anything unless it is life-threatening. There's also times when they are doing a laparoscopic case and the surgeon fucks up, so they have to open, which means they have to cut the person open so they can go in and fix what they screwed up. I'd be so pissed if I went in for laparoscopic surgery and was told I will only have small dot-sized scars, then come out of the surgery and be in excruciating pain because I was cut from throat to belly button. Fuck surgery. P.S. Now that she's making doctor money, we can buy stuff at the Keith and the Girl store. You know what?
That's hard to believe. 95%.
I don't doubt it.
That's hard.
I'm obviously, you know, I am not pleased by doctors, but I'll give you an example right now. I have a scar on my shoulder. I was playing football and somebody pulled on my arm, ended up getting out of the socket. I end up having a doctor fix it. I'm told I'm going to get, I don't know if it's laparoscopic or what, but I'm going to be just tiny dots. They're going to go in and fix what's wrong. I come to, and I see that, you know, after it heals, I see this big scar. And I said to the doctor, that probably during the follow-up, you know, because the doctor's never there, by the way. You get your surgery, doctor goes home, bye. Any questions, ask the nurse, who doesn't know because she didn't do it. The balls! The balls! So I go home, I see this, I go back, and I'm like, I mean, what am I going to do now anyway? And I go, look at this, I have a big scar on my shoulder. He's like, ah, don't worry, the girls will still like you, still look good. That's tough.
That's not a response.
Okay, then.
The girls will still like me.
Oh, don't worry about it. You're going to get lots of pussy.
Right.
That's gross that your doctor would even, like, bring up women. Like,
yeah.
But, like, what about the guy who, like, took out, like, the wrong side of the person's head in surgery? Remember that? Yeah. Like, a few years ago? Like, they, like doing, like, taking out a brain tumor, and they took out the wrong hemisphere.
Or right. I've heard that. I've heard wrong side of the heart, messing with the wrong valves, the wrong lung. In fact, I know it's in one of my stand-ups where, like, when I had knee surgery, they put an X on the knee. By the way, first they go, so what knee are we working on?
Oh, I'm like,
no,
God.
You go first.
I believe that was Sue Everybody, right?
Right, yeah. you go first, and then we'll see if I'll write it down. We'll both write it down. We'll see if we match. And then puts an X, you know, and that's not my doctor putting the X. And it's like, well, how's that guy not know? And I say this on the show, and different doctors write in, they have different ways. To one, an X means work on this. Another one, the X means work on the other one. And I said, take your marker, and you write this leg, not the other leg. And then on the other leg, go this, you know, whatever it is. Big check marks, circles, arrows.
I just got a root canal last week, and they're looking at the X-rays of my teeth. And the dentist, the second dentist, actually, he when I went for the follow-up cleaning and stuff, he said, do you know that somebody who gave you a root canal before broke off a piece of the instrument and left it in your mouth? And not only that he didn't even do the root canal all the way down to the root. He went, like, far enough, but didn't go all the way. Now I have, that's what I was on antibiotics for, I have an infection growing in that spot because they didn't go far enough. Not only that, but they left a piece of the tool in my tooth.
Oh, well.
Something like that happened to me. That's why I was in pain with my teeth. I still didn't take care of it because he warned me that it was going to be like $5,000. So I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know what to do. I'm like, do you have any idea? You know, can I apply for some kind of dentist coverage? But if you get dental surgery now, you have to wait a year before you can actually use it for more than just cleanings and stuff because they don't want people with pre-existing situations because, of course, you're going to get insurance on it.
Right. On our Keith and the Girl app and through keithandthegirl.com/feedback, you can write to us throughout the show. These are the things we're reading. This person writes, Amnon, and where it's in the feedback it says, where are you from? Says, I can't say. I work at a place where they amputated the wrong leg. They cut off your wrong leg. Oops.
And now you have to amputate the other one because originally you
still needs to go for some reason.
So now you have no legs. How about, did you read Derek's from Vancouver? I had a surgery in Canada on my bowels in 1998. When the doctor put me back together, he stapled through my bowel into the incision. So I was literally leaking into my body. Leaking shit. Sorry, I don't know how I skipped that word. Leaking shit into my body. Came very, very close to dying. But in Canada, no doctors will testify against each other, so I could not sue.
Oh, this is your free healthcare Canada brags about? No doctors can... Oh, my God.
Never a lawsuit brought once, you guys. Great system.
My Lord. Can you see why I'm a little turned off by the medical community?
Sure.
A little bit.
It's hard to believe that 95%. It's just awful. Maybe I just don't want to believe it.
When you find a doctor, it's amazing, right? When you find a good doctor. Can you say 95% of doctors are shit? I can. Watch. 95% of doctors are shit.
My mom got operated on, and the guy who did it, it's just like she had ovarian cancer. She had like growth all throughout her abdomen. Right. This guy tells me the results of the surgery over the phone. In like I'm in the waiting room, and he's like back in his office, and he's like telling me, he's like, yeah, we found something on her kidney and her liver. Like he's like listing all these places he found it, and he's like, all right, I'll see you on Monday. Like, and I was like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I thought my mom was like basically dying, and I mean, she's okay. It's been 10 years, knock wood. But like that was like the kind of callousness that we like encounter, like people being like, oh no, it's fine, all these things we found inside her. Like, really?
Yeah, and if you do have a question, they laugh at you. It's like, you're so worried. Yeah. Everything's fine.
They fucking laugh at you.
Yeah, well, just tell me what you did to my mom. I did medical things. Okay.
Don't you worry.
Well, I had a hernia surgery in June, and I have that big scar that you were talking about. I thought they were going to do laparoscopic, and I have this big scar. And every once in a while, if I'm doing some lifting, or even I can just be laughing too loud or too long, and I start to feel something in there, and I'm like, I wonder, did they do something wrong, or did they actually tell me that it was going to continue to hurt and I just didn't listen? Because I feel like I would have listened to that it's going to hurt for the rest of your life.
And maybe they said something while you were high as a kite.
Right. Mm. And that I'm not going to remember, considering I was fucking loopy as shit when it came to pick me up.
Man. And then, you know, they're probably talking to Claudia about her mom. And it's like, hey, don't worry, everything's fine there, Carrie. Like, you motherfucker.
But my name is Claudine. Oh, wait, I forgot.
Remember I was talking about the, there's a Spider-Man musical.
Yeah.
Speaking of superheroes, which I don't understand. If you're into Spider-Man, are you into musicals? If you're into musicals, are you into Spider-Man?
I think you're absolutely right. I guess the idea is, oh, I bet people will be climbing things and the awe of like the...
Sure.
You know, that you kind
of figure...
That's
the ultimate 3D.
Yeah, you kind of figure something's going to be hanging, you know, some people are going to be doing some acrobatic shit, and maybe that's why you're going.
Well, it was the opening preview, so I guess previews, you can see the play, but they can go, oh, it's just a preview. And you feel it, but you can tell your snobby friends, you saw it before anybody saw it. Like, why would you want to go to a preview, right? It's really just status. You wait until they get the kinks out. I'm paying $100 for a ticket.
I don't know that they're paying for previews. I don't know.
I think it's cheaper, but I think you still pay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I also think that it's for
media
mm-hmm. and for your friends, you know, just sort of like to fill up the audience, like, okay, give us some support in this first 2 weeks.
But if it's media, you still have to be ready. Like, your show does have to be done. You're not supposed to be working out kinks.
No, but you're supposed to, you know, as much kinks as you work out, it's still different in front of a live audience. And then maybe you're just supposed to be like, okay, first 2 times in front of a live audience, now we're a little bit more ready.
Well, they just had the opening preview of Broadway's most expensive production ever, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, very clever title, was an epic flop. $65 million went into this show.
How much usually goes into a musical?
I think like 5,000. But everything messed up. Stunned audience members were left scratching their heads over the confusing plot. I don't even understand the title. When they weren't ducking for cover from falling equipment and dangling actors. This is at the Foxwoods Theater, West 42nd Street. At various points, overhead stage wires dropped on the audience. Now I'm in. To me, I'm like, look at this. Now I bet these little snobby assholes with their $20 wine, they're frustrated. Me, I'm like, now we're tossed. Shit's falling. Spider-Man gets tangled in the lights. And I'm like, yes!
Call me snobby, but no, I don't want things falling
really?
On me. No.
Oh, I'm like, get an intermission. I'll pay $7 for M&Ms. This is exciting. So things are falling from the sky. The show's star, Spider-Man, was left swaying helplessly over the audience midair during what's supposed to be the climatic end to the first act. So he's just hanging there, and they're closing the lights. Like, all right, get out. It's intermission.
I can hear the whole theater gasping and Keith just cackling with laughter.
That's true.
The production's directed by Julie Taymor of The Lion King, so you would think they would have their shit together. The score is from U2, of course. U2's Bono and The Edge, anyway.
Really?
It opened with Taymor's personal creation, the 8-legged female character, Arachne, taking the stage. This is the spider, the radioactive spider that bites Peter Parker. So, you know, in the movie, a little spider, hits Peter Parker. He becomes Spider-Man.
In this, she sleeps with him.
In this, you start by seeing this big spider comes on stage and sings to you, I was just a spider in an accident. I was just a spider, now look at me.
This is no itsy bitsy spider.
I'm gonna bite ya. I'm gonna bite ya. But I didn't want to. There should be 42 spiders in the cage. There's 41. What's gonna happen? It's gotta get done. And I eat you, and I eat you. But that's what I do. Who should I eat? You.
All this from Bono.
Bono's good. Right. New Year's Day, he did, you know, and yeah, Arachne.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Little Vertigo, I believe that was.
Right.
That was excellent. As the character played by this spider is played by an actress. She finished her big number, Rise Above, while suspended over the crowd, and there was a wire malfunction that left her in midair. And she remained for 7 or 8 minutes. Minutes as stage hands worked to try to get her down. If you see people do stand up, they don't do it for 8 minutes. She stood there hanging for 8 minutes.
If she's over the audience, I think I would move out of that seat just until they got her down.
The stage manager finally said over the loudspeaker, give it up for Natalie Mendoza, who's hanging in the air.
Oh my God.
And everybody claps. The show had to be stopped 4 times in the first act alone for various snags. Peter Parker's love interest, Mary Jane, was supposed to be saved from the top of the Chrysler Building, but part of the building was missing, and Mary Jane wasn't there. Puzzled theater patrons looked around, then Spider-Man suddenly flew in with Mary Jane in his arms and put her down on the stage. He was then supposed to fly off in a dramatic end to the first act. Instead, he got stuck in midair and swung back and forth over the crowd. Three stagehands are leaping up trying to grab him so they can pull him down. I guess the web goes with you, you know? It's a bungee.
You know, this started getting put together years ago.
This is a long time.
A really long time ago. Lauren tried out for this and got a call back, that was a long time ago.
Well, thank God she didn't get picked.
She might have died.
Another sticky situation involved Spider-Man nemesis Green Goblin. Disgruntled audience members were complaining. The Goblin sat down at the piano for a scheduled number. So, first of all, this is if it goes well. The Green Goblin sits down at the piano. Very menacing, this Green Goblin.
Hello.
There's a thing called vertigo. Vertigo. It's
everything you thought a spider would know.
No flyer wants vertigo.
Well, he sits down at the piano for a scheduled number, and he had to continue playing on and on as stage workers try to finish the faulty equipment.
He's just making shit up on the spot.
Yeah. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Ding, 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 ding.
I mean, spider, bloody spider.
He started vamping it up for his grateful audience, just making up tunes like I'll Take Manhattan.
Spider-Man, he's dangling in the sky, Spider-Man.
One person in the theater yelled out, this is the best part of the whole show. The production ran 3.5 hours. I'm in, you get your money's worth. In the last 10 minutes, the show was completely stopped for at least half the time to work out kinks. I don't know about the rest of you, somebody yelled, but I feel like a guinea pig tonight. I'm sorry you didn't enjoy your Spider-Man musical. Hey. Fuck you.
I think it's hilarious that people are heckling a musical.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, folks.
Yeah, here's another one. I feel this was a dress rehearsal. Fuck you.
Ouch.
Yeah. Bono and the Edds were not there. They're in Australia. They didn't see what went on. I'd be so pleased. Look what I got. You know who these people are? They're the assholes who went to see Siegfried and Roy. And they're, I saw the show where the lion bit his face off. Like, what? I'd be first in line. Fucking assholes.
I'd like to see a whole show.
Right. I'm just a spider. Minding my business.
Light falls behind you.
I had a family. Then they used me for science. But that wasn't it. Kids came in and looked at me. What is that? There's not enough spiders in the cage. Ouch! I bit somebody. so they smack me.
Is this during the time that you're stranded in the air?
And yeah,
you're
just trying to fill it? I gotta make shit up. Please get me down. To recap, I'm a spider.
And the chorus tries to fill in. Get him down, speed as lightning, get him down.
Remember over here is a strap that you pull. You remember that one?
No, not that one. No, not that one. That one. Now you're safe. It's a 3.5 hour. The spider's talking to me.
A nurse saying that he'll pay $100 for your performance, Keith.
Well, thanks.
I was gonna say I would see your creation of it.
Mary Chain.
You too.
Yeah.
I never had the balls to tell Mary I loved her. You're dead, Spidey. Green Goblin. Oh no.
As he's playing on the piano.
The Green Goblin took my piano. Oh, no.
It's out of tune.
That'll teach you, Goblin. I have so much powers, and I work for a newspaper. Why do all superheroes work for newspapers? I don't know. Well, Foxwoods Theater is already looking for a replacement in case this is a flop. $65 million already put into it, but nobody has shows coming up, so they can't have a backup just in case.
Spider-Woman? Why not?
You don't have to change much. Add a wig to everything. Resell it. We have a hit. Oh, my Lord. Craig from London is saying, by the way, Keith, when you meet Catherine's dad, you probably shouldn't tell him your doctor theories and status.
His girlfriend's dad is a doctor.
Right.
And he's going to meet him for the first time at the end of the year. And he's going to be like, why do you?
Right. Look at my score!
What is your percent of mistakes made during surgery, sir?
Right. I'm going to say 95. Tell me I'm close. Because sometimes you got to give to get, you know? I want an embarrassing story from somebody as a host of this show.
I understand.
I have to give first.
Sometimes you might leave a towel in somebody. It's understandable. But just be honest.
How many times have you done that? You say it like it's a fact.
Right. Well, at least Kat can come visit me more times a year.
Well, let me mention this. Today's show brought to you by IReconnectedWithMyFirstLove.com. IReconnectedWithMyFirstLove.com is searching for people to complete a questionnaire for those who have reconnected with their first love. For example, Peter Parker and the spider. The spider was in love with Peter Parker. Not many people know that.
Arachne's story, we finally get to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Go to IReconnectedWithMyFirstLove.com and submit your anonymous responses now. And also, of course, let me mention this. Claudia.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you up to lately?
Well, I mean, if you feel like going out somewhere tonight, in New York, I have a show at the Parkside Lounge called Turtle Tank. It's at 9:30.
Mm.
Go to my website, ClaudiaCogan.info, and find out.
And if we didn't have...
ClaudiaCogan.info.
Mm-hmm.
You get all the info. I like it. I like it. Sometimes these other sites, I'm like, what? I'm not looking for comm. That'd be my dad if he's at the computer. I need info, not comms. What the hell's a comm? And then if people, there's other things that you're doing, if people aren't able to make it tonight because they heard the show just now?
Yes, if they're still inside. There's all kinds of shows I'm doing.
Very good.
Please come.
She's got her schedule up on ClaudiaCogan.info, and you can also friend her on Facebook. And if you ever need guest information of our guests, like let's say you don't know how to spell names or whatever, keithandthegirl.com/guests, and we can link to the information. Also, Newsy.
Newsy, are we going to see you again?
Probably not.
All right.
This is it. For now, I guess. Well, as long as you guys keep the show going for years and years, I'll come back.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll keep that in mind. How do people see what you're up to? You do photography. You do an excellent job. You're doing Jesse Joyce's CD, I understand,
yeah,
right?
That was fun.
He actually did What Do We Do Now, our book. He did the picture for that.
Oh, the little book
jacket,
right. The author picture in the back. Yeah, I did that. I don't know. My Facebook / Newsy is fine. My Twitter, Newsy Chew. You can find out when I'm masturbating. You can play along if you want. Give suggestions.
I'll tell you what. I had headshots taken.
Yes.
And I'm like, the person's like messing with my hair, messing with my clothes. And I'm like, yeah, but when's the last time they masturbated?
Right.
With Newsy, you know.
You know.
It's been 6 hours. He's showered.
My hands have been washed.
I'm all good for this guy to hook me up. Outstanding. Well, thank you both.
No problem.
Quite the treat.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
KeithandTheGirl.com